Does Not Compute is brought to you today by the letter H, which, of course, stands for Hired. If you're a designer, an engineer, or a bit of both, you should be checking out Hired to find your next job. After you sign up and get started, you'll receive 5 or more interview requests in just a week. Every one of those requests will list salary and equity up front, which makes it easy to figure out which ones you want to pursue. Hired is used by over 3,000 awesome companies, from startups to large public organizations. And these companies are based out of 13 of the biggest tech hubs across North America and Europe. It's completely free to sign up, and Hired will give you a $1,000 thank you bonus after you find your next job through them. If you sign up at hired.com/doesnotcompute instead, they'll give you a double bonus of $2,000. It's a really awesome deal, and you have nothing to lose. Sign up at hired.com/doesnotcompute. We're also sponsored this week by Dev Bootcamp. Dev Bootcamp provides a short-term, immersive software development training program. During the program, the first 9 weeks are part-time remote work, which include weekly challenges and pairing sessions with Dev Bootcamp staff members. After the remote program, you'll head to one of their campuses located across the United States. Once you're there, the next 9 weeks are full-time immersive training. During that time, you'll study a lot of the technologies we discuss on Does Not Compute, including Ruby, JavaScript, HTML, CSS, and Ruby on Rails. There's also an optional final week of career prep, focused on helping you prepare for interviews and actually finding a new job. They're currently accepting applications, so if you want to learn more, head to devbootcamp.com/doesnotcompute. We have a lot of questions this week, Sean. That's kind of new.
Yeah, the Slack chat has been going off lately. It's been pretty awesome.
It's very cool when the community gets active like that and chats with each other. I feel like everybody learns a lot and it's fun too.
I always feel bad though because I get pinged and then I'll show up the next day and try to figure out what was going on. I don't know what's up with my notifications, but I never seem to show up on time.
I don't know. I mean, people get busy too. I think everybody understands that. That's kind of what's nice about Slack is it is so asynchronous.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess I just feel like since it is instant communication, sometimes I feel like I'm expected to give instant response when that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to balance. And I think that depends on the environment too. Like a lot of times, for example, during business hours in a company Slack, you probably are expected to give a pretty quick response if you're able. But then obviously something you're doing for a community kind of thing, I think people get that you've got other stuff going on. You have a job. So it's kind of cool how people seem to intuit that.
Yeah, but I really like seeing other people besides us, you know, answering questions and fostering discussion. I think that's awesome that people actually come into our Slack channel and are providing help or being, you know, useful to others.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's like my favorite thing to see is when there's just people being active and helpful, and it's just really neat. So the first thing we had to talk about is actually from a very, very active member of the Does Not Compute Slack. And this guy is Oliver Pattison. He's written an awesome, awesome blog post about setting up a Jekyll website on AWS with SSL and everything. It's super, super cool.
Yeah, I remember some discussion happening around that. Again, I was at work and I was just perusing the Slack chat, so I wasn't able to dive in as much as I wanted to. But I believe, if I remember correctly, this post is directly the result of an issue that he was having. And so this is basically his way of solving that problem, correct?
Yeah, that was my understanding as well. This article is really long and thorough. It's awesome. It has code examples in there and screenshots of the Amazon interface and everything that you really need to know. And it even talks about how to make your www version of your site redirect correctly to the non-www version. I feel like that's one of those things that gets left out a lot at the end, but it is really important if you want your site to function well and just have that good experience. So this is really cool. It's especially cool to see people from the Does Not Compute listener community writing stuff like this and helping other people, because that's something that Sean and I are obviously really passionate about. And I just think it's awesome that people in the community are also into that.
it's really encouraging to me that people are getting involved. You know, people are helping each other out. People are writing posts and articles on how they solved certain problems. And that's pretty much how I learned to program, was by reading articles that people had written or looking at example code or example repositories that people had set up. So it's really awesome to see people paying that forward.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And if anybody else who listens to the show or just hangs out in the Slack or whatever is writing stuff like this or making open source stuff, definitely send it our way, because we'd love to look at it and chat about it.
Well, this whole theme goes along with a question that I was asked on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, by Daniel Cardenas. He was basically just asking for advice on how to start learning web dev at a later stage in life. And he said he's 28, and that resonates with me because I'm 28, you know, and I'm still learning. I really didn't even start programming heavily until I think I was 22 or 23. But my short answer for that is get involved in the community. So I struggled along for a long time. I was making WordPress themes, just Googling here and there. But when I really started to learn and really started to progress as a developer is when I started rubbing elbows with other programmers like Paul. When I started working with Paul, maybe 2.5 years ago, I think it was.
I mean, we started talking about programming over Skype like almost 4 years ago now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started bothering you and asking you questions on Skype quite a while ago. And you were always very helpful, which was awesome. And it was, you know, it was really encouraging to me and it kept me going. But when I started to progress a lot quicker is when I was actually around people and conversing with them and just like getting involved in the community. And that's part of the reason why we talk about Slash Rocket and the Spec FM chat so much, is because they have done a lot for me in terms of me being able to learn and finding encouragement and even just finding inspiration for things to work on, or, you know, different project ideas and things like that.
Yeah. And I think one of the awesome things about these communities is that there is room for everybody, in that beginners can go there to get help and people who are a bit more experienced can then help other people and also learn themselves. Like when I'm answering questions in any of these places, I always learn a lot of stuff myself, whether it's just little nuances about a language or something totally new that I had no idea about before, which I think is just really cool that kind of everybody benefits at the same time.
Another really important thing that I'm not sure that a whole lot of people touch on is that I think it's detrimental that you expose yourself to a lot of different ideas and styles of programming. So you can get heavily plugged into, for say, the Ruby community and learn Ruby idioms and how to do things the Ruby way. But when you start also looking at the JavaScript community or looking at possibly maybe the Go community, the Elixir community, every different community has drastically different ways of working and solving problems. But the thing is, the more you expose yourself to different ways of solving problems, you can take that and you can apply that to the work that you're actively doing.
Right. And learning more programming languages is just a good thing in general, because of course, you don't want to overwhelm yourself. So this has to be balanced. But first of all, it will make you a better programmer. You'll be able to do stuff on the front end and the back end and wherever else you need to do stuff. But learning new languages actually becomes much, much easier after the first. It's like each new thing that you have to pick up, you're already familiar with so many of the patterns, and just the terminology, I think, is a huge one for me. And once you know that stuff, it makes it very easy to Google, oh, how do I do this specific thing that I already know the words for, but in the new language I'm trying to learn?
Right. So it's kind of like learning a second language. So if you're an English speaker and you learn Spanish, you end up learning not only just Spanish, but how to deconstruct a language into small bits so that it's digestible, right? When you have that new skill set, you can apply it to, say, something like French. So since you've already learned Spanish, you can break French apart basically the same way you did Spanish. You basically just have experience doing that. And so when you have that kind of tool in your toolbox, it makes it much easier to jump from programming language to programming language.
For sure. And I also just want to point out that 28 years old is not a later stage in life. Like, that's still very young. And for me, a big part of what makes development special is that you're always learning. If you are doing development at all, you're always going to be learning for that entire time. Like, I've been programming for a really long time, and I learn new stuff every day. If I wasn't learning new stuff every day, I would be really scared. So I don't think it matters so much what stage of life you're at, because development is all about learning. It's just about getting in there and being like, I have this thing that I want to know, and I'm going to work at it until I know it. And I think that that's really cool, because it's not like you go to college for 4 years and then you leave college with a comp sci degree and never learn more about programming. That would make you a very bad programmer. What makes good programmers really good is that they care and keep progressing over time, always, for as long as they're programming.
Yeah, that's a really great point. It's a never-ending thing. There's always more to learn. There's always something new to master. That's probably why I like playing guitar so much, is because I can play it forever and there will always be a new technique to learn, something new to master. It's never boring, right? One thing that I think is interesting, people always say stuff like learning new things when you're older is more difficult. But I would argue that it almost puts you in a better position, because the older you get, theoretically, the more you know about yourself, the better you understand yourself, the better you understand how you learn. So you're in a position to almost accelerate that learning. For example, I know that for me to actually retain information, I need to write things down. And I know that for me to retain information, I need to turn off notification center and close the blinds and the windows. I have to be completely focused. And I remember learning when I was younger, I would never do that. I would go to a loud coffee shop and get distracted all the time. Sometimes I would have a guitar in my hands when I'm trying to learn, and that would just not end up doing anything beneficial for me. So, you know, you being 28 puts you in a great position, because I feel like you have a better capability of knowing yourself and knowing what you need to do in order to be able to retain information.
Yeah, definitely. And this actually kind of leads us into another question from Brady Swenson a little bit, who asked how we approach productivity and learning habits.
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this a lot. Brady messaged me, or he tweeted at me a few days ago, so I've had a little bit of time to think about this. And the biggest thing, or the thing that works most for me is that I have to be intentional about everything. I'm very good at wasting a lot of time. I will sit down with the idea that I'm going to build something, and 2 hours later, I've found myself on Medium reading an article about JavaScript fatigue, when really what I wanted to do was build an API in Ruby, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, how in the world did I go from trying to build something in Ruby to reading an article about a different language? And I almost always find that I wasn't being intentional about what I was doing. And it kind of goes along with what I was talking about in knowing myself. I literally have to put horse blinders on myself, otherwise I will get distracted. So I do small things like I'm using an app called Hey Focus, where I can turn on a focus mode for a specified amount of time. And during that amount of time, while focus is running, it won't let me visit sites that I specify. So it'll actually bounce me to a page that has a motivational quote on it. And then I feel bad for trying to go to Facebook or Twitter or something. But what's even better than that is that when you start a timer, you can have it run bash scripts or shell scripts. So what I ended up doing was throwing a small script in there. When I start a timer, it turns off notification center, or it mutes it, so I don't get any pop-ups at all, because I find those incredibly distracting. And when the timer is done, it automatically turns the notification center back on. So for me, I just have to be very direct with what I'm doing. You know, I have to have a plan. I have to sit down and say, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it for an hour, and I'm not going to do anything else for that hour. And I find that when I'm strict with myself like that, I get drastically better results.
Yeah, I think productivity for me is an interesting thing. I definitely can be the same way with blinders, but a lot of my jobs have also required that during the day, I actually don't have blinders on, because I do need to interact with other people a fair bit. So one thing that tends to happen for me is during the day, I'll get a fair amount of work done, but then my biggest productive times are actually in the evenings or late at night. And obviously that's not something that's feasible for everybody, but for me, it really does work. When I just have a nice 6 hour chunk of time where nothing is happening. Nothing new is happening on the internet because it's later. Nothing new is happening with people because it's later. Nothing new is happening. There's nothing to distract me. There's everything. I'm aware of it. Nobody needs help or attention. And I will put on an album I really like. I've been listening to Girl Talk lately, and put it on repeat and just go for hours. I will have an album on repeat and just be working and doing the thing. Obviously not an approach that can work for everybody, but to Sean's point about knowing yourself, that's just kind of how I know I work best at this point.
It's funny because I do the same thing. I will turn music on and it's usually the same album for hours on end. And I'll just kind of get into a loop of working. For me, it's been Periphery and Queens of the Stone Age. Kind of a weird mix, but it works right now. But, you know, I'll put those horse blinders on and I'll just try and get some work done. Another thing that I've been doing lately is in the mornings, I will try to write down things that I need to remember to do that day. So I'm working with a couple of other developers right now at my job, and I need to remember to check in with them to make sure their projects are going well and everyone's hitting deadlines, etc. And so what I'll do is I've been using a program called To-Do, and I set up reoccurring reminders. And so every day it actually notifies me, hey, check in with Nick at a certain time. And when I check it off, it just creates a new notification for the next day. And that's been really helpful because I tend to get into those modes. If I do get into a flow state, I'll forget everything that I'm supposed to do. I'll just forget about everything. And these automated notifications are helping me because I'll see that pop up and I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to check with Nick. And I'll just send a Slack message and it's done. You know, it's taken care of. And another thing I've also been finding very, very beneficial, I think we talked about it when we originally did our interviews with DeveloperT way back when. But the older I get, I guess, the more I find this rings true. And basically, it comes down to I need to do something physical every day, whether that's yoga, whether that's riding a bike, or whether that's doing something. I find that if I go a few days without doing anything physical, then it's harder for me to learn new things, or it's even harder for me to focus in general.
Getting out of the house or out of whatever your normal environment is once in a while is such a great reset button, whether that's to do something, some kind of physical activity, or go to a bar with some friends, or whatever that thing is for you. Just doing that, you know, once a week or once every couple of weeks even, it really will help you be way more productive. So we kind of talked about productivity with both those things, but not so much about learning habits. For me, learning habits are when I want to learn something, it is almost always because it is an obsession. I don't have a choice anymore. And what that means for me in practice is that I will just work on it and work on it until I know it.
And that's interesting. So I've definitely felt that obsession before with just having to, or wanting to, feeling compulse towards building stuff and learning this new technology, or, you know, learning whatever it is that you're wanting to learn. Lately for me, I find that I get focused bursts of energy. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write a record. I'm going to write another record. I'm going to do it. And then I don't. And then I'm like three songs into the record. And then suddenly I'm researching JavaScript again. And, you know, after I'm like halfway through learning how to use Webpack, I'm back to writing a record again. Yeah, I don't know. So for me, it all comes down to structure. I have to structure my time. I have to plan things out. I have to mentally allot things, time for things, in order to have anything stick.
This actually kind of comes back to the knowing yourself thing, because I don't know how well either of us can actually answer this question, or anybody really, because you should know how you best learn. Like, and then just make sure you stick to that. Sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it's that you have to set aside a very specific time of day every single day to learn it. Sometimes it's that you need to have training with somebody. Sometimes it's just that you learn freeform, but it takes a lot of time. That is such a personal thing. And I would be very hesitant to say, oh, this is the way to learn. I will say again that I think communities are a super huge help in learning, whether that's the Spec Slack or people on Twitter or Slashrocket or whatever that is for you. But finding that place where there are people who care about the same things that you care about and want to help others learn, that's one of the biggest things, I think, for learning that applies generally to everybody.
Yeah, again, it just keeps coming back to community for us. There's been plenty of times where I feel like I'm in a learning mood and I think that I want to learn something. I just don't know what I want to learn, I guess, or which direction to go. And community is great for that because you can hop into a general channel in Spec FM and just say, hey, you know, I want to learn more about JavaScript. Where should I start? And then people will just start rattling off project ideas. Right there, you could become inspired. You know, you could get that feeling of inspiration and that could cause you to just jump into it and be productive and cause the information just to stick, you know? And I think that the majority of my stagnant periods have been because I have been working by myself for a long period of time and I just kind of get tired of what I know and what I've been working on. So, I mean, we say it over and over and over again, but man, Slack is free. Download it, jump into the chat room, ask questions.
Yeah, I think if you're trying to learn new stuff and you're just kind of sitting there thinking, wow, I am having a lot of trouble learning this new stuff and I'm just not very excited about it, that might actually be part of the problem. You might be trying to learn something that isn't the right fit for you right now for whatever reason, whether that's you're learning, trying to learn Ruby right now, but you actually should be trying to learn JavaScript, or you're trying to learn something completely unrelated to programming. If you're not really, really excited about it, and this is what makes the obsession part of it important for me, like I can't stay motivated about learning something new unless my mind is forcing me to do that. But when it is, then it's such a great fit. It just clicks and everything falls into place and it's so much easier. So if you're really having trouble learning something, it might make sense to step back and look if that's really what you should be trying to learn right now.
I have definitely been there, been in the situation where, you know, a lot of times it happens because of my job. I do consulting, so I have to build a lot of different things. And I'll get to the point where maybe I just need a break. You know, I'm trying to force myself to learn this new stuff when really I just need to take a few days off and go outside and go surfing or whatever. Just remove myself from what is causing me to feel like that. And the cool thing is that usually within a few days, that inspiration and that feeling of, man, I really want to get back to making stuff, it always comes back. So sometimes the best way to kind of reset yourself is just separating yourself for a little while.
Thanks again to Dev Bootcamp for sponsoring Does Not Compute. Dev Bootcamp helps new developers learn the skills necessary to build out the front and back end of their own web apps. The projects in their curriculum are also modeled after real software development projects in order to help prepare students for finding a job. Take a look at devbootcamp.com/doesnotcompute to learn more. This week's episode was also sponsored by Hired, which is a great way for designers and software engineers to find new jobs. Employers send you interview requests with salary and equity listed up front. And when you find the perfect fit, Hired will give you a $1,000 thank you bonus for using them. You can easily double that to $2,000, though. Just sign up at hired.com/doesnotcompute. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Let us know what you thought of it in the Spec Slack. Sign up at spec.fm/slack or on Twitter at DNCcast. We also truly appreciate iTunes ratings and reviews, which are one of the best ways to help others find the show. That was awkward. That sentence was awkward. This is awkward, Sean. Let's start this differently.